This is the Giraffes Don't Eat Steak podcast, a show that brings you marketing stories, tips, hints, and much more. A treat for those who want to succeed in business or marketers who just want to learn. Hello, Alex.
Morning. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Good. Very rainy today.
Rainy? Oh, yeah, it is.
It's getting ready for the snow. It's snowing on Thursday.
Don't even joke.
No, I mean, it's not joking. 70% of snow on Thursday and 40% of snow on Saturday. Percent chance.
I'm taking a train to Manchester on Thursday.
Well, as soon as there's a slight snowflake, it'll be cancelled.
I know, that's exactly the problem. Oh, yeah. Okay, I better check. Oh, well, it's me. I may not mind, actually, if it's cancelled. Oh, it's not me. Oh.
Is it a day trip?
Overnight trip.
You might be stuck in Manchester for a weekend.
Long weekend. Apparently, you see, this is all my bad habits coming out, Alex, but apparently Manchester's quite a good place to be stuck for the weekend, I was told.
Yeah, it's a good night out. That's what you're referring to.
Bad habits. What bad habits do you have, Alex?
How long do we have?
No, not long. Pick one.
Bad habits in general. Oh my goodness. Do I really want to tell everybody?
No, okay, don't do it. Well, I was listening to the Ed Sheeran Bad Habits song at this event. There was some dancing at my event last week. And I was thinking about, actually, there's a lot of marketing bad habits, right, that our customers have. And they keep going back to it, because that's the whole problem with the habit, is it's your comfort zone and you keep sticking to it. Mm. And one of the ones that I was thinking about is not being consistent. We see this so often. People get a burst of enthusiasm and try something like posting on LinkedIn for a few days and then get bored or tell themselves, oh, it didn't work. Let's try something else, right?
Yeah, that's
so annoying.
Like the magpie thing, isn't it? Whenever there's a new shiny tool, let's try that. This is gonna be it. And then within a week, you try it and you give up because it didn't work. Yes, because there's no thinking behind why you want to do this type of activity or want to use this tool. There's no understanding of planning or any prediction of what it will do.
Just staying the course to give it a chance to work. Some things take time, right? It's not going to happen overnight.
Yeah. So the bad habit is setting yourself up to fail through not being prepared and not giving it time, right?
And being consistent, just sticking to the message. Because the other bad habit is just changing, right? Changing from one message to the next message, changing from one channel to the next channel. And people get confused. Like, who are you? What are you about? What are you trying to say? So, and then the Ed Sheeran song says, my bad habits lead to you. And this is also when customers' bad habits bring the wrong client.
Mm-hmm.
It's the wrong client, right? The painful client, the needy client, the client that can't afford to pay. And then they wonder, what went wrong? Well, you're talking to the wrong audience. Ah, here's one example, is people who talk about cheap, right? Where they say they're low cost, cheap, best price, and then wonder why they get clients who are on a tight budget and actually can't really afford the full extent of their services.
Yeah, we've seen that quite a lot, actually. And you need to understand your value that you're bringing to the customer. I always find there are some exceptions, of course, but you obviously have to be within the financial range of your market, which is, I think we touched on another podcast. But the rejection of I can't afford it, obviously, again, your pricing is right still, is not a real rejection. It's because you haven't portrayed your value enough correctly. If you provide the true value of your custom of your product that is solving their pain, then money isn't really an issue because the value that you're giving outweighs any financial concern they may have, right?
So I agree with you mostly. I've had about 2 months ago a negative experience with that kind of a selling approach where the price was horrendous. It was like, I don't know, £10,000 or something. And this salesperson really tried to convince me that it would be so awesome for me and my business if I would pay the 10,000. And why didn't I take a loan to pay it? And I could use my credit card to pay. Like, it was basically get into debt was okay.
No, but that's what
I'm
I'm
not
saying.
into that.
Yeah.
That's like a no.
No, of course, that's what I'm saying. They need to understand what you're. If they need to get a loan to get it, then no, because it's not within their financial range, is what I'm saying. You need to understand the financial range of your audience. But as long as your price point is within that financial range, even if it's the higher end of it, which that may make people a little bit concerned, but they still could afford it. The concern, the financial concern goes out of the mind because they think, I just want that value. That value is worth it. Everything that I can afford right now is worth spending on.
Okay, well, I guess for me, I didn't see the value. There was not going to be £10,000 worth of value in it for me.
No, I mean, as soon as somebody says get a loan, that's terrible. That's awful. I mean, I don't know even where to start on that.
Anyway, we'll do another podcast about bad selling techniques.
And price, maybe.
Right, what other bad habits do we see in marketing?
Well, when you're saying about inconsistency, that made me think about branding. So a lot of the time I see businesses where they, for a simple one, they venture outside of their brand colors, for example, and start creating disconnect between the image that they want to that they're portraying versus what they originally set out to do. So you've got your brand guidelines out there for a reason and colors for a reason as well. Let's say you've got more of a blue color scheme because you are a financial institution and you want to
Portray trust.
a trust, and then you start using reds and yellows or something like that, which is something very different. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying from the original value, the original feelings of trust, you starting to move away from that. And I've seen a few cases recently where you can see a massive disconnect and it doesn't make any sense at all. And not only the worst part is that they keep changing, so you're losing the identity. I'm not really sure who you are, and it's making me confused about how I feel. A minute ago I felt, oh, this looks good, I trust this, and the next thing I feel like, oh, this is not how I was feeling a minute ago. So it makes me feel uneasy with the service that they're providing or offering to provide.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. I was talking to someone earlier, and they actually asked me to train them on how to create a banner. Me. So I said, well, I'm not creative, but then they're like, but you work in marketing. How did you get into marketing if you're not creative? Like, well, I don't do that part of marketing. I do other stuff in marketing, but I'd rather go to a graphic designer to do the pretty stuff. Like, so I guess someone like me should not be let loose on creatives because I probably wouldn't get the coloring right or the font right or whatever because it's just not what I see, right?
Yeah, but you say that creativity comes in many different forms. There's that create, there's an output of something you can see visually that's creative, but the thinking behind it is creative. And you have a very good skill set with that. So if someone's asking you how to do a banner, you can give them the theory behind the banner in terms of what goes in the banner, the theory behind the messaging, the theory behind the branding, and what to think about, the questions you need to ask, and the information you need to provide somebody on the front end creative side of it.
Yeah. No, well, they wanted Canva training. So I showed them Canva and then said, there's lots of YouTube videos that will show you how to do it. Because that's not me.
Canva is becoming incredible, I have to say. More as it develops, it's becoming extremely powerful. It's honestly, it's really changing a lot of in the design world, to be honest. I know that make a lot of real designers shiver and quake and go in their boots because they're like, oh, Canva, no, we need to use Illustrator and Photoshop. But the truth is, it's really good. And it's got a lot of templates in there that can cut a lot of time and cost to marketing teams.
I said to use templates. Yeah. We can create 3 or 4 templates that you just need to change the date and the time and an image. Yeah. Drag and drop.
It's true. It's making design a lot more accessible and possible to people who don't necessarily have the creative eye to develop something from a blank canvas. Mm. So it is very powerful. I've been using it a lot recently.
Right, back to our bad habits. So Ed Sheeran says, my bad habits lead to late nights, conversations with a stranger. I don't know if conversations with a stranger is necessarily bad. I do like conversing with lots of strangers. But how late nights in marketing, bad habits? I guess it can lead to extra work, right? Your bad habits. I know my bad habits is lastminute.com. I leave everything till the due date and then do have to end up spending long late nights or weekends getting my deliveries done. That's my marketing bad habit.
Yeah. Actually, my marketing bad habit, I'd say, is organization of like all of my assets and files and things like that. I think I'm terrible with that. I always dread the day whenever I have to do like handovers to people and stuff, because I know I have to work very hard to reorganize everything I have. And I know that now, and I still don't make it prepared for that day when that day will eventually come. All of my stuff is everywhere, and with the naming conventions, they're awful. So I know where it all is, but anyone else coming in wouldn't. That can cause me some longer nights than I should be doing.
Absolutely. And more important if you're doing marketing and insurance, right? Because the regulator needs the Financial Promotions Act says you need to keep track of, you know, every single sign off, every single appliance. And then every year, if you're reusing the same material, you have to get re-signed off. So you need to keep track of, this was signed off on this date, because in a year's time, I need to get it signed off again. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. The more regulated your marketing environment, the more you need to control those bad habits of not being organized, or find someone who is organized who can handle that stuff for you.
That's true. I do think that with more digital platforms that we're uploading things to, drives and YouTube accounts and Miros and blah, 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 whatever it is, do help quite a lot, because everything is now time stamped and you just upload it and it's there forever. So with large storage capabilities that we have, it does make those kind of things a bit easier. But what you did just say also made me think about communication. That internal communication is super, super important. For me, I'm quite a trusting person, so I My bad habit is that sometimes I would just talk to people and I agree things with them verbally, and later on the line it does come to bite me in the bum sometimes, and it's a habit that I just haven't been able to break completely because it's sometimes still happens, and it did happen to me fairly recently, where we've agreed on something, and later on down the line, apparently that wasn't part of the scope of work, and it becomes an issue. And it's like, well, where is it in writing? And then that's really horrible. And they come back with that, and I just think that's you're a terrible person. You know, we agreed on this.
Yeah, I'm the opposite. I'm the minute queen.
Yeah.
After every conversation, I will send, even if it's unofficial email minutes, here is the list of stuff we've agreed. But it doesn't, sometimes with some people, doesn't help, right? They'll still tell you 6 months later that no, they actually never agreed.
Oh yeah, never agreed. Oh, I didn't receive it. Blah 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 blah. But they do exist. That is really important thing to do is to minute things for internal communications. That can really help. Can help because especially with marketing, you work with a lot of external partners, with designers, with campaign managers, agencies, etc. So they're. Well, everybody always looks after their own back, but especially when it's another business, there, you need to make sure that that you can have that paper trail of agreement, because ultimately it does fall with you. And it would be I consider it my fault because I wasn't the one that had it written down, and so there I cannot then prove it to them in terms of if we needed any compensation or anything like that. It's my fault because I should be to I it should be me who is has all of that information and can prove it. So from a marketing employee or role point of view, it's very important to keep on top of that, and it's happened to me a number of times, and I'm trying hard to get better at it, and I'm sure it will happen to me again sometime, but it's happening less and less, but it still happens.
But don't you find, because that's also both you and I are both relationship based. Once it happens, that person is out, right? Like
Yeah.
you take responsibility. Yes, I should have, but you'll never work with him again. And then when
No.
you find someone who isn't like that, and we've got a few that we'll go back to time and time again because
No
their word
count.
is their bond. If there's a problem, they'll work with you to solve it, not throw their hands up saying it wasn't on paper, so good luck to you.
Yeah.
And then those are the relationships that stick around, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So there's a pro and a con to sticking to your guns too much, right? Like I always wonder with suppliers. I had a supplier at the beginning of the year who went to my client behind my back to go and moan about me, and I was like, what were you trying to achieve? Did you thought the client would kick me to the curb and keep you? That's an interesting development. And then was totally surprised when the client kicked him to the curb and kept me, right?
Yeah.
Okay, this is an
Yeah.
interesting way of working. And then a few months later, I was looking for this particular skill and someone referred them, and I'm like, never touch them with a 10-foot pole ever again in my life,
Yeah.
right? Like, never, ever, ever. Once bitten, twice shy, right?
No, exactly. I guess I would see my business relationships similar to my personal ones, that I need to have a network of trusted people around me, and they eventually show their true colors, people, and I think it's actually, just going on a personal note, but in my past, I have held on to those bad relationships before, and I've learned a lot from those by realizing that when I am seeing that pattern to move on, because it creates a lot of issues for you personally, but then in the business sense, from a business point of view and personal stress because it's just causing problems. And you're right. And it happened recently now. I was halfway through a project and I got rid of the team because they did exactly that. They were backtracking on what they thought the scope was because they hadn't delivered. Me, that was just an instant strike. They were out and I just moved on straight away. And even though it put me back probably 2-3 weeks, I think I'm going to save months
of agony. Absolutely.
Yeah. And even for the final delivery of the project, I think I'll be like months earlier than I would have been if I was with them. So for the short initial pain, it's definitely worth it for the long-term gain.
Yeah. And I guess that is a bad habit that we both share, which is too trusting. And I always want to give everyone a second chance, right? And just keep trying. But yeah, we're getting better. Let's cut your losses while you can and move on as soon as the signs, soon as the signs start showing that this is going south. Yeah. Run for the hills and move on.
Yeah, I agree. So what else has Ed Sheeran got? Any other gems from the Ed Sheeran song?
No, I mean, it's a good song. It's really good for dancing, but I'm not Manchester. Well, I'll find out if they played in Manchester. Don't know. He talks about swearing. I'm not a fan of swearing myself, but I don't mind when other people do it.
Yeah, you don't swear at all, not even in messaging. Sometimes I'm just like, just say the word and in messages write F, asterisk, asterisk, asterisk. I'm like, come on, just say the word. Yeah, I do sometimes when I hear you swear, I'm like, oh my God.
Then I'm really bad. Then you know it's over the top. God.
Yeah.
You really have to push all my buttons. I'm working with a new team now. That's quite sweet because it doesn't bother me, right? I think one of my best bosses I ever had, he was German. He swore a lot. And everyone used to be so offended. But for me, I knew exactly where I stood because he swore whether he was happy or he was sad. Like it wasn't one way or the other. But he was always honest. I knew exactly, was I on track? Was I off track? What was going on? And, you know, all the swear words around it didn't offend me. So this new team now, they don't know me yet. Every time someone swears, they all look at me going, apologies. Like, it's fine. It's really fine.
I think I swear quite a lot, actually.
Do you? Not around me.
Yeah, I feel like I do swear a lot. I guess it depends who I'm with. Like there's levels to swearing, right? Sometimes I'm in a group of people, I'm like, oh my goodness, they swear a lot. And other times I'm in a group of people, I'm like, oh my goodness, I swear a lot.
I'm never in the lot phase, never.
No, you're not.
and even social media, right? Some people are pretty comfortable swearing on social media and all that kind of stuff. Like I say, it doesn't faze me, but you need to think about, will it affect your target market? That's what's important. Yeah. And actually, someone said to me the other day, I like a sweary bird. I go, okay, that's an interesting thing to say.
Yeah. Depends on how it is, I guess.
Yeah. Okay, well, I think we've ripped Ed Sheeran's song to death. Thank you, Alex, and I'll talk to you later.
Flip side.
Bye.
Bye-bye. That wraps up this episode of Giraffes Don't Eat Steak. Thanks for joining us. I hope you found value in our discussion and got some new ideas to apply to your own business. Tune in next week for another round of marketing insights and inspiration. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We appreciate you listening. Catch you next time on Giraffes Don't Eat Steak.